On Monday afternoon, the Capitol Police Department arrested seven people for holding a sit-in at the Vermont State House, but they're not the only ones to have left the State House in handcuffs in recent weeks. As VPR's Peter Hirschfeld reports, a coalition of activists has been staging weekly nonviolent protests in Montpelier since late May. And the Vermont Poor People's Campaign, as they call themselves, is calling for an end to poverty, racism, and other societal problems.
Martin Luther King Jr. is best known for his work as a racial justice activist. But toward the end of his life, King turned his attention to the issue of poverty, and his final act was dedicated to something he called the Poor People's Campaign. Poverty, King said he'd realized, was the true wellspring of inequality, and in a 1967 speech at the Victory Baptist Church in Los Angeles, King said the fight against it would be his toughest yet.
In other words, we are in a period where there cannot be a solution to the problem without a radical redistribution of economic and political power.
50 years later, a new wave of anti-poverty activists is using the principles of nonviolent protest that King preached to try to get that, quote, radical redistribution that he called for. And on a recent Monday afternoon in Montpelier, about 75 people marched into the State House to demand action from policymakers.
Every single one of us were written a check, okay, as Dr. King said. And we're here today to cash in on that check. We're here to say, hey, you know, we need to get paid today. Hello?
That's Mark Hughes you hear there, the founder of a racial justice group in Vermont called Justice for All. Hughes is one of three people chairing the Vermont Poor People's Campaign. This was their fourth week of nonviolent disobedience in the state capitol. The week prior, 10 of them were arrested at a state house sit-in. The week before that, 14 left in handcuffs.
All over the nation, people are standing up, saying together that we are not going to take it anymore.
There would be no state house sit-in today. Instead, the group decided to take its march down a winding asphalt sidewalk and onto nearby State Street in downtown Montpelier. They are a diverse group of young and old, Catholic and pagan, black, white, Asian and Latino. Some of the nearly 30 people arrested so far have been in their 70s. The campaign is not holding back on its demands. They held small rectangular signs calling for an end to poverty, systemic racism, ecological devastation, and what they call the war economy. And they operate on a founding premise. Only by drawing attention to the plight of the poor will people demand the action needed to fix it. On this particular Monday, that meant using their bodies to shut down a well-traveled downtown thoroughfare. Montpelier police arrived in relatively short order, not to arrest anyone, but to politely request that they shut down an alternative intersection so as not to congest traffic.
Can we get everybody to the other side of that crosswalk and I'll open up traffic this way and then everybody can maintain their positions and we'll be able to move traffic around.
The group instead decided to take its numbers to the Pavilion Building, which houses the governor's office.
We wanted to talk to the governor.
We wanted to talk to the governor.
And they asked if we had an appointment. We said no.
The protesters were upset that security had locked the pavilion door. Montpelier Police Chief Tony Fakos, who'd arrived to talk to one of the campaign's leaders, did not sympathize with their outrage.
Well, that's a wise thing for them to do, obviously, because, you know, this isn't cooperative dialogue you've been trying to have. So there's been progress that's been made, you know, in moving the ball forward, especially here in Vermont.
Fako says he appreciates the protesters' sentiment, but he says he thinks their action would be better targeted at institutions in Washington, D.C.
Vermont, we're pretty, generally speaking, united on, you know, improving, you know, a lot of the poverty issues, you know, social justice, equity, all those things.
Katrina Battle, a 25-year-old woman from Milton, says the struggle is as real in Vermont as it is in other parts of the country.
This is the movement, as I've been saying to a lot of people in my life. This is the movement we've kind of all been waiting for.
Battle says the thing that defines this campaign is that it's a, quote, fusion movement, a demographic hodgepodge united by a common understanding of what it means to be poor.
It has to be all of us together or none of us. For years, for decades, we've tried to do it one at a time, to do it individually, but that's not how we can actually make any progress. As we've seen, things continue to get worse and worse.
Similar protests have been playing out in state capitals across the nation. Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and about 35 other states all have their own poor people's campaigns. The campaign has called for 40 days of nonviolent protests, meaning there will be one more Monday afternoon of civil disobedience in Montpelier. Campaign leaders say that's only the beginning, though, and they say they plan to bring their voices next to the ballot box, where they want poor people to exert new influence on state and federal elections. For VPR News, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.